Welcome everyone to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin, and joining me this week is...
Tricked you nobody. No, it's me, it's BJ.
It's BJ. BJ's back.
And love me.
And this week, since BJ is back, we're just going to catch up by discussing some of our favorite Dragon Quest spinoffs. There's the new Dai mobile game is coming out really soon. It's in open beta by the time this episode goes live, or closed beta rather, by the time this episode goes live. So it's kind of on theme with things that are happening in the Dragon Quest world, I guess.
I guess, kind of. Well, especially after the spinoff of Dragon Quest of the Stars was announced yesterday to completely be canceling in a couple of months.
Yeah. Yesterday when we're recording this. Yes.
Yes, yesterday as of us recording this, right.
It's like 2 weeks ago by the time this is live, because we're time travelers.
Woo!
So let's just jump right in and discuss some of our favorite and one of my least favorite Dragon Quest spinoffs. The one I have on the list here first is Dragon Quest Heroes. It is, I think I've said before, it's probably my favorite spinoff series. Even though I don't usually like Musou games, and even though there's a lot of really good DQ spinoffs out there, something about Heroes 1 and 2, especially the first one, just I really, really enjoy a whole lot.
Yeah, I've played both of them and never beat either of them. I really like them, but it's something that I've never been able to sit through the entire thing. And I think it is because it's a Musou game. Yeah. I think that's what at base, it's that I, as much as I love running around and exploring and seeing all the stuff, I never can get it whenever, get to go through all of it when, like, I just get bored smashing the same enemies over and over because I don't like the combat as much as other action RPGs.
I guess for me, the reason it clicks better than other Musou games is because it has a story, and it has characters like, you know, Dynasty Warriors, and even Age of Calamity, which, you know, was billed as like this, you know, Legend of Zelda story. It was like, I mean, I played and beat that game too, and it was like, I guess there was a story, but it wasn't so much as a story as just like quick, like 30-second cutscenes to take you from like map A to map B. Whereas I feel like so much of Dragon Quest Heroes, like, you know, you can go through, there's like side quests to do, there's like crafting things you can do, there's multiplayer, there's just like all these things that like keep me invested more, I guess. And maybe it also it's the like colorful cast of characters. You know, the original characters in the Heroes games are good, but it's also just really nice seeing that mashup of like of other popular characters from the franchise. And I think that's what I appreciate as well.
As well as having the characters that you know and love from games that weren't voiced, hearing them with voice acting for maybe the first time and maybe the only time. Yeah. That's one of the things that is really neat about these that I like so much. Yeah. I never played Age of Calamity, so I don't know anything about the you know, the younger versions of characters you meet in Breath of the Wild and all that. Like, that came out, literally, that was the first game that made me realize I wasn't into video games right now. Like, I was having a hard time focusing because I didn't even download the demo of Age of Calamity. So I can't speak to that one, but I know that I've still gone back since then and played a little bit of Dragon Quest Heroes 1 on Steam.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the voice acting on these too, especially for characters I don't get to hear. Like Maribel, who was actually pretty annoying when you first get her in Heroes 2, just like she's pretty annoying in 7, but grows on you just like she does in 7, because I really like Maribel now.
Yeah, so I played Dragon Quest Heroes 2 right before I played Dragon Quest 6,
okay.
I think is how it was.
Or like, I can't remember the order there, yeah.
I beat Dragon Quest Heroes 2 because I went back and like replayed it and actually beat it right before Dragon Quest 6. And so every time I was playing Dragon Quest 6, I would hear Carver's voice on the DS version. Like, I would hear him in that voice. And it did make the Dragon Quest 6 experience more enjoyable, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely would. It's the same thing. Like, it can go both ways. But with Dragon Quest, the thing about Heroes is that they're very high quality games. that they got good voice actors, because it can be ruined when you finally hear like an English voice actor for something that, well, maybe even a Japanese one. I don't speak Japanese, so I have no idea. But like, it was weird for me listening to the voice acting in the Dai cartoon and the Dai anime about like when I heard Brass talking. Mm-hmm. It was like, that's not the voice that I heard in my head. So it can be both ways depending on which way you go for it.
You didn't hear a voice going, Barasu.
No, I didn't hear that. And I was like, oh, this is weird. I was like, his name isn't Brass. And then I sit there and look and I'm like, oh, I guess it is. It's Barasu. And it was, yeah.
Yeah. So Heroes is probably my favorite spinoff. Dragon Quest Builders, though, that's still yours, right?
Yeah, Builders is totally my favorite of the spinoffs. It is just great. Like, I still need to go back and play the first one. Again, like I said, I haven't been in a video game playing mood for months. But one of the ones that I have on my list next to play is actually Dragon Quest Builders, the first one. Because Builders 2 is, like, the game I've put the most time in on the Switch other than Animal Crossing. Like, even through Xenoblade, and as much as I love Xenoblade 2, is like one of my favorite JRPGs ever, I put more time into Dragon Quest Builders 2, which is mind-blowing since I tend not to like builder games. Like, I don't like Minecraft. I couldn't really get into the first Builders, but Dragon Quest Builders 2 had just enough of a story, had just enough combat, and just enough freedom on building, as well as having patterns where if I wasn't in the mood, I could just gather stuff and make something. Like, it's pretty much the perfect building game in my mind.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, and just enough Malroth.
actually, it doesn't have enough Malroth. That game could go with another couple of doses of Malroth and agency to let me rescue Malroth whenever he gets in jail and the stupid game wouldn't let me because he's my friend and I didn't feel that way about him.
Yeah.
And I'm still mad about that.
Yeah, that is still one of my big complaints about Builders 2 as well. Just that whole Moonbrook section in general.
Yeah, Moonbrook was not my favorite place. Like, I'm still angry at Moonbrook. And I know that that's how the game is set up. I know it's not a choice game. Like, you can't alter the way the game and storyline are playing out because it's paralleling DQ2. But man, that still bugs me that you can't even go see your buddy and be like, oh man, I'm sorry they're doing this to you. It's like, yeah, you know, you're kind of a demon now, whatever. I don't like you as much. I'm like, no, I love you, Malroth. So like, it's my favorite of the spinoff games, but it's weird because I have an emotional connection to the narrative on that one, which I didn't expect going in because like you're putting blocks and smashing voxels. I mean, that's not something I expected in this game.
Yeah. Well,
like, I think I have more of a connection emotionally to DQ Builders 2 than I do to DQ 11, which is insane.
Yeah, that is insane. But I do kind of get it in terms of like your Malroth buddy. It's like if Dragon Quest 11 were only about the Luminary and Eric, and you spent all that time with just you and Eric, and then you have to betray Eric and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, where then you're like, what the heck, Square Enix? Why are you doing this to me? I don't want to do this. Give me choices. Be BioWare for a second. And it's like, yeah, that's exactly what it would be like. Yeah. I think that might also be the only time I would ever want Square Enix to be BioWare too. So just put that out there, like that, like maybe Knights of the Old Republic BioWare, but not current BioWare, where like Anthem gets shut down.
Yeah,
I never even got to friggin' play. Still angry about that. I know it's not even good, but I still wanted to play it, and now it's gone or going gone.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's still out there. I think you can play it right now if you want to.
Can I still play it? Like, I actually didn't know when it was shutting down. I thought it might have actually already shut down.
I think you can still play it.
I may actually have to do that then.
Yeah, I think for me with Builders 2, kind of like going back to what you were saying, is it because it has that story, that's really what makes it better than the first Builders. Because with the first Builders, I mean, you watch me play a lot of it. A lot of the first chapter of
first
Builders.
First area, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just like, it wasn't really... there was a story, but it wasn't really a story. And it was just like the story itself was just centered on building, and having that extra companion in Builders 2, I think just makes you a lot more emotionally invested in everything than just running the whole thing solo, which is why I'm sure that's why they put in Malroth as your companion in Builders 2. I mean, all of that makes sense. I think really, really briefly, because I don't want to just dump on games the whole time we're t- talking in today's episode. I did want to mention, because this is a big series for a lot of people, the Dragon Quest Monster series, and specifically right. Dragon Quest Monsters Joker. Because I did not like the first one. There is an episode from a little over a year ago that we recorded where I tried playing the first Joker and got to like the third or fourth island, I want to say, in it. I can't remember exactly where I got, and just and did not like it. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago when Sam Steele was on here talking about it, he mentioned that Joker was the game he was never able to get into as well.
Right.
And a lot of that was because of, you know, there's no real story in Joker. There's these little islands you just go around, and there's not really a story, and there's nothing to really do other than just grind monsters. It's like, okay, cool, I'll get this monster. Okay, cool, I'll grind levels with this monster. Okay, cool, I'll try to breed this monster. Okay, cool, I'll try to grind up levels with this new monster. And there's not really,
it's
like
a palette swap of the last monster.
There's not really like a good incentive to keep playing.
Right.
But I was talking to Brad Anderson on Twitter a few weeks ago, days ago, I don't know, sometime in the past. And he was talking about how much better Joker 2 is than the first one. Mm. That it's just such an improvement. I think he said that the first Joker game was like a beta compared to like a beta test compared to what Joker 2 is. And so I'm very hopeful for Joker 2 because you haven't played either one, or just you haven't played Joker 2 either, right?
I haven't played either one. And actually I'm going to take a break here in a second. Like by break, I mean walking to the other side of the room and see, because I know I have Joker, the first one I bought off eBay, and I know that it's still sealed because I was going to play it and then you dumped on it and I was like, oh, I don't even really want to unseal it now.
I know,
which is weird.
And I feel bad about that because I remember after it was like you had just spent like 100 hours in Builders 2 and you were like, yeah, I'm gonna play Joker next, and you were all excited about it, and then I started playing it before you, and then I feel bad because I feel like it's completely my fault for you never trying it out.
It absolutely 100% is. Like that's not even a question. Like it absolutely is your fault that I never tried it. And I will eventually. I mean, obviously I'm going to at some point, but I'm going to walk over. You might still be able to even hear me, but I'm going to walk over and see if I have Joker 2. No, I did not. So I didn't even buy Joker 2 after you dumped on Joker 1. I never even went and bought it. I'll eventually get to that one, especially since Brad says it's that much better.
Yeah, I have, right now I'm kind of obsessed with Pokemon Sword and Shield. I started playing it recently and I'm very obsessed with it and enjoying it a lot. And Trails of Cold Steel 4 on Switch is about to come out, then I'll probably dig into that. But after that, Joker 2 is what I'm planning on playing. Once I get through all the DLC from Pokemon Sword and Shield and, you know, wrap up the Trails of Cold Steel stuff, I think I'll play Joker 2 because I'll need something to do until, like, Dark Alliance comes out in the summer. So it's weird having, like, all of my games scheduled and planned for the next, like, 6 months. But really, that's kind of what I do.
And I'm sorry that's actually what you're doing. Like, just kind of as a... as kind of a meta discussion here, like last night, I actually recorded the first Geek to Geek podcast that I'd done in a long time too. And so we were talking about it, and we're going to an every other week schedule on it because the last 5 years, we've scheduled out our gaming so much that we've based it on like this game is releasing so we can talk about it, and realize that during the hiatus, like we weren't doing that. And we're having more fun being able to just dive into other stuff. So I'm feeling a little more free because I'm not scheduling out my games. And it's funny to hear you be like, well, I guess I am scheduling out my games. These are what I'm playing up till then. I'm like, oh, I just got past that.
But see, there's a difference. You do it because you want to be part of the conversation immediately when things are new. And most of the games I'm playing are like years old, decades old. And so it's not that it's not that. It's just that I'm like, I know when some games I'm looking forward to are releasing, so I fit in older games between then.
So I'm going to tell everyone on here who's listening, don't talk to Austin for the next 6 months, because he doesn't want to have a conversation with you.
Wait,
that's what I heard. You said you don't care about being part of the conversation because you're playing them years later. So I'm telling everybody not to talk to you.
Well, I mean, it's not like Geek to Geek where you sit there like a week in advance playing a game you don't like just because it's going to be a popular game when it comes out.
That's only a couple of episodes, like No Man's Sky. Like that was, man, that game was rough at launch.
Yeah, but I mean, that's my point. It's like
I see what old, I know what you're so talking about. Like, yeah.
But yeah, Monsters Joker, I'm going to try Joker 2 now. This is the year I'm going to try Joker 2. And it wasn't, and Brad was the one that said this, but I saw where other people were backing up his statement. So between Brad and then other people backing him up as well, I'm like, okay, maybe Joker 2 is good. Maybe I'll give it a try.
Or if you like it, like if it is a good game and like you do, I should rephrase that. If it is the kind of game that you really get into, kind of like you do Pokemon with monster hunting and things like that, would you get the Japanese version of Joker 3 because you have the Japanese 3DS?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Because it's supposed to be really good and it looks really, really cool. And I wish it were in English.
Yeah.
But it's one of those that I don't have a way to play it and you do. So I was curious if that would be something you're looking at as well to give a shot to see even if Joker 2 doesn't work for you, if you would try Joker 3 to see if it does.
Yeah. I don't know. It's too early to tell. I'll have to get back to you after I've played a few hours into Joker 2.
That's fair.
Like, seriously, I disliked the first Joker so much that at this point, like, just the Joker series in general has been off my radar.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll see how Joker 2 does before I answer that and try the third one. I will say, though, that despite the way I felt about Joker, I really want older other monster games to come over to Switch, and I'm still looking forward to the Eric and Mia Monsters game that I'm waiting any day now for them to say it's canceled because it's like been so long and it's had so many troubles and everything, but still holding out hope it's a real thing. So I will say that even though I did not like the first Joker, I'm still interested and eager to play other Monsters games.
Yeah, I get that. I want to get into the Monsters games. It's one where I really wish that with Monsters in terms of spinoff games, Monsters is actually the one I want on Switch more than 4, 5, and 6. I want them to do what they did with the Japanese one and put Monsters, I think 1 and 2 both, on Switch so that I can play them. Like, I want that more than the 4, 5, and 6 ports.
Oh, man. I don't know. That's a toughie for me. Because it's tough because, I mean, I have 4, 5, and 6 on DS, so I'd rather have other games that I haven't had a chance to play on Switch. But
yeah,
I also really want the Zenithia trilogy on Switch. Oh man, I don't know if I could make this decision. It's a good thing I don't work for them. They'd be like, Austin, and which one do we send to? Do we localize on Switch? I'd be like,
When your head explodes and you just go into. It's like one of those cartoons where you're in a straitjacket in a padded room, spinning in a circle on your shoulder to the side, going whoop 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 whoop. That's what it would break you.
Yeah.
Also, anyone from Square Enix who is listening to this is now like, well, we're sure not hiring him now. He's useless.
Yeah.
So
it's cool. I don't want to work for Square Enix, but no offense. But anyway, so we have some other spinoffs to talk about that we've played, that we've enjoyed. But before we get into that, it's time for a little shameless self-promotion.
I'm back and I'm still shameless. Oh, shameless, shameless, back and shameless. I'm back, back and shameless, shameless.
So since BJ has been gone, we haven't really talked about it too much on this podcast. We did a little bit towards the end of last year, but we haven't talked about much on here. We've been playing Dungeons & Dragons and really enjoying
it.
You got super obsessed with Dungeons & Dragons.
It's true.
You've developed like a D&D complex. So because of that, we have molded these two loves together to make our own little like D&D adventure.
Yeah, we're working on this. One of the things that I got super into is writing. Like, I haven't done a lot of creative writing over the last few years, ever since I started writing for a living. And so I went back to it recently when I got into D&D, when Austin actually got some stuff because of his, you know, his real job. And started looking into stuff. And I started writing a Christmas adventure. And I was like, this is really fun. And then it turned out that it got really good responses. And then I wrote another one that just went up called The Dragon Tower of Candlekeep on DM's Guild, and it was super fun. And then I like started doing this and started working with a small press for an anthology. And Austin and I have been talking this whole time. It's like, we can write a Dragon Quest version of this and to be able to play in D&D. And there is a book on DM's Guild that is called like Incarnate, like Legacy of the Lacers or something like that. And it's an entire take on Avatar The Last Airbender. Like, that's what it is, except it never uses those terms and has its own terms and stuff using it. And that's what we're going to do for Dragon Quest. We're working on a full D&D supplement based around concepts from Dragon Quest.
Yeah, and a lot of it has the race and classes from Dragon Quest X. And that's right. Kind of loosely where some of the story stuff is based on as well, even though this is like its completely own new world. The point of all this, other than just telling you guys about it because we're excited about it, is that we always like having perks for all of our Patreon patrons. So any of our patrons get a nice little thank you in this adventure book that we're working on. And we're going to try to get a PDF of the finished product digital version of the book up on Patreon to everybody, just as a way of saying thank you for all your support from the last like couple of years.
And I'm sure that as we get things finalized, because obviously this is a big project, that as we get individual parts finalized and drafted and things we think are funny, we'll be posting it to Patreon as early access kind of stuff. So y'all will get to play around with some monsters, some stuff like that. We also have to like come up with names and all that stuff, but I'm getting to write so many puns. Y'all, I'm having so much fun. Austin and I are just punning back and forth even more in text messages. It's great. Y'all are going to love this because we do. Like, this is something that we're hoping to be able to do a lot more stuff with.
Yeah, for sure. So getting back into today's episode, we're going to be talking about a couple more Dragon Quest spinoffs that we've played and we absolutely love. Next one we got to talk about is Dragon Quest Rocket Slime.
It's so good. I'm so, like, I love this game, and I'm so glad you let me borrow it, that I'm really glad that I got to play this game. It's super good, and I actually want a remake of this one. Like, I would love to have it on modern consoles, to have, like, the HD graphics of all these slimes.
Yeah, I would like Slime Mori Mori 3, I think.
Right, yes.
Because it's old wooden ships and slimes. It's, like, two of my favorite things.
And isn't there a fan translation of Slime Mori Mori 3?
There is. Yes, you are correct. And I keep meaning to try it out and play it. Platy has said very good things about it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, I haven't played it. Like, I have the files and everything to be able to do it. And it's just like, I hadn't done that yet. And it's one of those where I keep looking at it. I'm like, I should do that. And then I don't, because That's pretty much how I live my life.
In terms of the rocket slime that we actually got here in English, it was technically the second one in the series. But, you know, I really love the like Super Nintendo like graphics, like just the color palette and the way everything looks reminds me a lot of Super Mario Brothers 3, which is probably my favorite Mario game, or definitely my second favorite Mario game, if it's not my favorite. Like, I loved that game, played it all the time as a kid. And so the graphics and everything, the way the art design, everything looks in that game reminds me a lot of it. Really loved it. I appreciated a lot of the callbacks to mainline games. I mean, especially ones for DQ8. There's a lot of ones to DQ8 in there. But, you know, there's other ones too, like Big Daddy looking like Ragnar McRyan and things like that. But also, I mean, it's slimes. It's just cool getting to see like all of these like slime variants in the game.
And this is where a lot of the slime variants that come into other spinoffs come from for the first time. Like, you'll see a whole bunch of them in like DQ Tact and stuff like that, where they'll like update them and make like Slionheart came first in monsters, not monsters, but Rocket Slime, maybe. Some like that I know did.
No, like Cyborg Slime did, as far as I know.
Cyborg Slime, that was the next one I was going to say.
Yeah, Slionheart, I think, is from Dragon Quest IX.
Was that the first one for it?
I'm almost positive, yeah, that Slionheart is only in Dragon Quest IX.
Hmm. I know he's also in Dragon Quest Tact now.
Well, he was in Dragon Quest Tact as the, as an S rank pull. Because I actually went back to, I had taken a break from DQ Tact, and I went back
to try to get some of those, and I did not.
Yeah, I got some cool slimes. Like there was a lime slime that I got, and some others that were pretty cool as part of the slime festival.
Yep.
Did not get Slionheart. He wasn't in Rocket Slime. He was 9. What you're probably thinking of though is that Slionheart looks a lot like some of the other slimes in Rocket Slime.
Yeah, like there are so many different kinds of slimes, and they're so fun. And like it took me a while to get used to the controls in Rocket Slime, but once I did, it was crazy fun to bounce around as Rocket.
Yeah. Speaking of crazy fun, the last one we're going to talk about from today is Dragon Quest Swords. We played, we loved it. We had a very memorable experience. Personally, I think it is a great way to get one arm like super buff, while the other arm just stays the same.
It's just a noodle. It's like you're the Rock on one side and like the original, like Steve Rogers before he becomes Captain America on the other.
You're like the guy. You're like the guy. And you know, the Lady in the Water, the M. Night Shyamalan movie that everybody hated.
Never saw it.
Okay. Well, anyway, there's a guy in Paul Giamatti's apartment complex, that's always working out like one arm and it's like super buff. Anyway, that's what I thought about. All right.
But it's great. Like it's if you want to be that way, it's great. And if you don't want to be that way, like switch arms sometimes. Yeah. But like it's a game. I don't know if y'all remember it. You can go back and listen in the archives where we played this and beat it in one day while I had limited time visiting Austin. And it was hilariously fun to play. And I almost missed my flight because I was like, I was going to beat this game before I go. And I don't think I did.
Yeah.
Looking back, I don't think I saw the ending. Like, I had to leave right before we got to the ending.
Well, no. What happened, if you remember, what happened is you had to leave. We fought the final boss, Xiphos. We fought him.
Yep.
We died. So we tried to grind some levels for a little while to take him on again. Still died. And then you had to leave and we're almost late for your flight. And then I spent like a couple of days popping ibuprofen and forcing myself... physical pain to grind levels, even though my arm was so sore, and then went back and fought Xiphos. And then I think I recorded a video of the ending and sent it to you, or took screenshots and sent it to you. I think it was a video so that you could see what it was like, so that you could see how the ending was. With Dragon Quest Swords, it's hard for me to say what I liked about it, because so much of the fun that we had with Dragon Quest Swords was because you and I were playing it together and trying to get through it like in a single day. You know what I mean?
It was not very fun when I tried it alone. Uh-huh. When it first came in, I tried it on the Wii in my living room alone, and it wasn't good. It the controls are bad. Moving around, like you use one Wiimote like and the D-pad to move around in first person, and it's awkward. But with us both doing it, it's hilarious. This is one of those games that I highly suggest that you play with someone else, because you're not able to appreciate how ridiculous it makes you act as a person just alone. You have to have someone there to watch when your arm gets tired to be able to appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, it admittedly was not as fun playing it alone after you left than it was, you know, trying to rush through it and play it all in one go like we were. But I think I will say that I had enough fun with it that if there was a Dragon Quest Swords 2 to come out on Switch, which seems like it would be very obvious to do that, that if that ever happened, like, I mean, I'd be buying that game day one and playing it solo.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there is better technology now to get it to work. And based on the way that they're doing Skyward Sword that they've announced with actually being able to control the sword with a stick, it might actually be a more fun game if you don't want to use motion controls.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing with Swords too, is that the controls, it's just like Skyward Sword. It's not necessarily that it's a bad game. It's that the controls are so, like, using the Wii Remote is such a major gimmick for that game that... Because of the like shortcomings, I guess, of the Wii Remote, that it kind of affects the overall experience of the game.
Right. And it's I don't know, the way that I always look at the motion controls on the Wii is, yes, it's a gimmick and it worked for some games very well. You know, like Wii bowling, things like that. It works out great.
Golf.
But then you have things like Skyward Sword, which I never actually played on the Wii, so I can't speak firsthand to what I've heard.
I did, so but I can then, speak to it all you want.
Yeah, you can. but like Dragon Quest Swords, it's not accurate enough for how precise they wanted you to make these motions. But at the same time, it's ridiculously fun because it's so bad that if it were very precise, this game wouldn't be terribly fun, I don't think, because of how it's put together. Like, part of the fun is like, oh no, I missed! That kind of thing.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I think so. I think...
I don't know. To me, I think
they have enough time now to make it better.
Yeah, to me, I think it was more frustrating than anything whenever you had to do like a diagonal slash, but the control shows up on the screen that it was a downward slash, and you're like, no, I'm for sure doing diagonal. Like,
yep,
I don't
that's
know.
True.
That was not a fun part for me.
I guess the fun part of it was doing that together and us being like, no! But yeah, alone, that would be terrible.
Nerd raging together instead of alone.
Yep. Kinda, it's always more fun.
Yeah, I can see that. That makes sense, I guess.
That's why there's so many podcasts of people nerd raging with another person.
Yeah. Huh.
Because if you do it on a podcast with somebody else or on video, that makes it funny and something people want. If you do it alone in at your computer or at your TV, it's sad.
So that about does it for today's episode. We just wanted to kind of catch up with each other and catch up with you guys by talking about some of our favorite Dragon Quest spinoff games we've played and that we hope to play, like Jokers 2 in the future. Remember, if you want to talk to us, you can find us on Twitter at Dragon Quest FM, and be sure to check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. If you want to talk to me individually, you can totally do that. I'm on Twitter at DragonQuaston, and you can check out my regular blog posts on DragonQuestAustin.com or listen to my other podcast, JRPGs and Me. Oh my God, I got too much going on. It's your turn.
You have a lot. You have a lot going on. So do I. My personal Twitter is at Professor Beej. You can also listen to me on my other podcast, the Geek to Geek podcast. You can find that and other content that I do at geektogeekmedia.com. We also have a fantastic Discord server that we're growing at discord.geektogeekmedia.com. And you can check out the D&D stuff that I was talking about earlier. If you search for my name on dmsguild.com, dmsguild.com.
I'm typing my name into DM's Guild and it's not showing anything up.
I don't like you anymore.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.